Today we're wrapping up the series on the parable of the sower, entitled Where Seed Falls. And today we're landing on the last area of where seed falls, which is on good ground. So Matthew chapter 13, if you're following along, if you don't have your Bible, it'll be on the screen up here behind me. Starting in verse 1, it says, "On the same day, Jesus went out of the house and sat by the sea. And great multitudes were gathered to him, so that he got into a boat and sat, and the whole multitude stood on the shore. Then he spoke many things to them in parables, saying, Behold, a sower went out to sow. And as he sowed, some seed fell by the wayside, and the birds came and devoured them. Some fell on stony places where they did not have much earth, and they immediately sprang up because they had no depth of earth. But when the sun was up, they were scorched, and because they had no root, they withered away. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprang up and choked them. But others fell on good ground and yielded a crop, some hundredfold, some 60, some 30. He who has ears to hear, let him hear." Again, as a reminder that anyone sharing the gospel, the word of God, is a sower. The word of God is the seed. And as we scatter seed throughout our lives, tossing it to and fro, back and forth, everywhere we go, it falls on these different types of soil, which represents the heart of man. And so over the last few weeks, we've looked at the other seeds, the other places that it falls by the wayside. This represents the word of God being spoken to people that have the hardened hearts. It's kind of like the path along the side of a field that's been stomped on and trampled, and it's hard. It's like they hear the word, but they don't receive it. Before it can work into the soil, the enemy snatches it away. We see this seed that falls on stony places. This is like when the word is heard, and it says it's also received with joy, but it only endures for a while. The roots don't have the opportunity to go deep, and when the tribulation and persecution arise in their life, the person is enticed to sin. Then we see the seeds that fall among the thorns, and this is the word being heard and received again, but then the anxieties of our life and the false hope that riches are the answer choke out the word, and it causes the person to be unfruitful. And so today, as we look at the good ground, this last place that we see seed falling, Jesus said that this is the person, in verse 23, he who received the seed on good ground is he who hears the word and understands it, who indeed bears fruit and produces some 100-fold, some 60, some 30. Church, this is ultimately what we want. We want good ground, right? We want good ground for ourselves, but we also want good ground for others. We want to sow in good ground because this is where we see the best results. If you sow on good ground, this represents a person, again, that receives the seed. That means, that word receives literally means to lay hold of, that they grasp it, that they grab onto it. It's people that get it. And Jesus says that if you sow on good ground, there's two things that are going to happen when that seed is received on good ground. It said this is going to be a person that they hear it, but they also understand it. And church, it's important that we understand the difference between hearing and understanding. When we think about hearing and understanding, they do oftentimes go together. But if you're here today, you're hearing the word of God. We just read it. You heard the word of God. The word of God tells us that faith comes by hearing, and hearing the word of God. So you got to hear it. That's important. It's a natural action you take just by sitting here and not falling asleep. You're hearing the word of God. Praise the Lord. That's all of you but one or two is hearing the word today. Just kidding. There's nobody sleeping today. The people that are sleeping are probably at home. But you hear it. It's an action you take. I'm speaking it. You're hearing it. It's an important step in your spiritual growth is to hear the word of God. What did Jesus say at the end of the parable of the sower? In verse 9, he said, He who has ears to hear, let him hear. So he's saying it's important that we hear it. That's something that's critical to the calculation, is that we hear the word of God. He didn't say, he who has ears, let him hear. It's not just the fact that you have ears. He says, do you have ears to hear? What does that mean to us? It doesn't just mean that you're present. It means you've got to be teachable. If you have ears to hear, it means you have ears that are ready to hear, right? It means you have ears that are teachable, not just being present, but saying, man, I want to hear the word of the Lord, but also I'm open to being taught by the Holy Spirit today. You guys realize the importance of that. I don't know how many times in my life where I had sat in a church service and I did not have ears to hear. I was just present, right? I was just there. I was there because my wife wanted to go, or I was there because, you know, it's what we do, but I had other things on my mind, or I was in a place where I didn't really want to hear anything. I was just hearing. But he says it's important that we have ears to hear, that we're teachable, that we can come in and say, all right, Holy Spirit, what are you going to speak to me today? You guys realize the complexity of the Word of God, that you can preach one verse or one section to a whole group of people, and so many people can get so many different things out of it. Why is that? It's because the Holy Spirit is the teacher. I'm just the person up here speaking the word so you can hear it. The Holy Spirit is the teacher. He's the one that speaks to your heart and says, this is what you need. This is the part you need to grab hold of today. So when we come into this place, do we have a teachable heart? If we're not hearing the scriptures and we're not willing to learn, how will the Holy Spirit bring us to a place of understanding? Right? How will he bring us to a place of understanding? Matthew 13, verse 16, Jesus said, but blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear. For assuredly I say to you that many prophets and righteous men desired to see what you see and did not see it. And they desired to hear what you hear and they did not hear it. Do you realize that we have something that the prophets and the saints of old, that they desired to have? They desired to be able to hear the word of God and understand it in a way that is more than just intellect. Church, that we have that with the Holy Spirit. They didn't have that back then. They didn't have somebody to teach them, to translate, to explain it. We have the Holy Spirit. We have such a unique opportunity in this time and age. I don't know about you, but I've thought at different times, man, I would have liked to have lived when Jesus walked the face of the earth. I would have liked to have lived back with, you know, Abraham or one of those things. And it's like, man, this is the best time right now. You guys realize that? They didn't have the Holy Spirit as a teacher until Jesus left. And so back then, I mean, it would have been a lot harder to understand. And you see even the disciples in this section right here, you can read through it. They even question, like, well, Jesus, why are you teaching in parables? And he basically lays it out like, it's not for just the natural man to understand, but I speak in parables. That way people don't just get it. It's not about intellect. It's about understanding by the Spirit. We have to see and understand by the Spirit of God. Are you hearing this morning, church? Is your heart teachable? Not by me, by the Spirit of God. Because that's how you come to a place of understanding. If you read the word and you're like, man, I read it, but I just don't understand it. It's not about you just being better. It's just about you being teachable. It's about you coming to a place where you say, Holy Spirit, I'm willing to receive from you today. Understanding is a spiritual thing. This word for understanding literally means to bring it together in the mind. Bring it together in the mind. Well, think about this for a moment. You have a soul, which is your mind, will, and emotions. That's what your soul is made up of. And what is that usually controlled by? It's just controlled by what we know, right? What we think, how we feel, and what we desire. Now, if you want understanding, it means that the Spirit of God has to work in your soul. It means that something spiritual has to be brought into your mind and brought together by the Holy Spirit. When you have ears to hear and you're teachable, this is being willing to learn. Honestly, it's really a place of humility, of being able to say, you know what, I don't know all things. I do need to learn. I need to submit to God and say, here I am, Lord, have your way with me. This is a spiritual thing that we do. He brings understanding. It's when the Holy Spirit takes a spiritual truth that we may read with our eyes or hear with our ears, but he brings it together with our natural mind. You've got to hear and understand to grow spiritually. I don't know if you've ever been in a foreign country on a mission trip or just went somewhere on vacation, but what's it like when somebody's talking in another language around you and you don't know what they're saying? First of all, that makes me very uncomfortable sometimes. I'm like, are they talking about me? Did I do something, you know? Especially if they're laughing. Think about that for just a minute. When you find yourself in that situation, can you hear what they're saying? Yeah, you can hear them, but you can't understand them. And so it's one thing to hear, that's good. But if you can't understand them, how much does the hearing really profit you? What does it really do for you other than you're aware that they're talking? But if you don't know what they're saying, what do you have to do? You are trying to interpret something or register something through your natural mind that you have not yet learned. You don't know how to apply it. So what do you need? You need an interpreter. You need a person that'll be able to say, this is what this means. This is what they're saying. Someone that can translate the words to help you understand. Church, that's what the Holy Spirit is to us. He's the interpreter of the Word of God. He takes the spiritual things of God and says to us, limited people who don't always understand, the Holy Spirit can say, this is what that means, and this is how it applies to your heart. He translates the things of God to the heart of man. Jesus told us about him in John chapter 14. He says, but the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all things that I said to you. The Holy Spirit, the teacher, he will teach you all things. A lot of times we look at that he's the helper, and we think, all right, he's going to help me. But yeah, the primary thing he's going to do is he's going to teach you. He's going to teach you all the spiritual things that you need to know. And this is the place where we need to be if we're going to be good ground. If we're going to be productive for the kingdom of God instead of just being a warm body, it has to start with hearing and understanding. This is both a natural and a spiritual engagement with God's word, letting the Holy Spirit teach our mind. And if we do this, he tells us in the parable of sower that there's a promised result. There is something that will take place in your life if you hear the word of God and you allow the Holy Spirit to teach you and explain what it means. In verse 23 of Matthew, it said, but he who received the seed on good ground is he who hears the word and understands it, who indeed bears fruit and produces some hundredfold, some 60, some 30. It says this person will indeed bear fruit and produce. It's a fact. If you hear the word and you understand the word, it's a guarantee, a promise that something's going to happen, that you're going to bear fruit and produce. Who does this? Well, it's only the person who hears and understands. This is how you bear fruit. This should be the goal of every follower of Christ. As sowers of the gospel, this is the result that we hope to see as fruit from our labor, is things being produced in people's lives. And I'm afraid we don't see this enough because we get the wrong results, because we're using the wrong formula. A lot of times we try to get people to receive, right? Just believe in Jesus and then produce, right? I mean, that's one of the negative things about church sometimes, is you get somebody new, they come in, you're like, all right, you believe, you're saved, all right, can you play keyboard? No? Okay, well, do you like cleaning? Will you work with kids? Can you serve in the nursery? It's like immediately they believe, and we're like, all right, it's time to produce. It's time to get to work. But see, when we do that, we're missing some steps. They need to be in here hearing the Word of God. And they need to be hearing the Word of God with an openness to the Holy Spirit to learn and understand the things of God, because it's only then that they're going to be able to bear fruit and produce in godly ways using the gifts and the talents that God has put in them. We got to get people to this place where they have ears to hear what God is speaking to them first, and letting the Holy Spirit bring understanding, because it's when we do that, there's the promise of bearing fruit. This is all spiritual, church. See, a lot of times we skip the spiritual and we're worried about the natural, filling spots, getting things done, which they've got to be done. I understand that, but we can't bypass the spiritual needs of a person for the physical needs of people. It's all spiritual. It starts with the Word. That's spiritual truth. It grows into understanding, a spiritual mind, something that's fixed on eternity in heaven instead of just the natural things. And then it bears fruit, which is spiritual action in our lives. And when you bear fruit, this just means that you're yielding some results, that you're going to see some things begin to happen, begin to change. All this seed that's been sown, when you gain understanding, it begins to yield results. Hebrews chapter 4 tells us about the power of the Word of God, which is the seed. It says, "For the Word of God is living and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the division of soul and spirit and of joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart." This is how powerful God's Word is. It's why we need to hear it daily. It grows our faith, but also it will yield results. What does that mean? It's going to change our lives. Church, it's not just about behavior modification. It's about hearing and understanding the Word of God to let the Holy Spirit work through you. It's not just be good, right? That would be a lot better if it worked like that, just be good. But I remember my parents telling me all the time as a kid I just needed to behave, right? Well, you can tell a kid that they need to behave, but it's a lot better for them to learn how to behave, for them to understand what they do is right and what they would do is wrong, which my parents were great at teaching, but there's a lot of parents who aren't. We were out the other day at Walmart Kohl's, and this family was in there, and this lady, the way she treated her kids, I was like, those kids are going to end up in jail. I'm not even kidding you. You know why it was? Because she was just mean and rude and talked down to them like they were nothing. Those kids, the reason they're misbehaving is because they don't understand what they should be doing or why. Because that woman, I could tell just from that limited time, you've never talked to your kid like a person and explained to them and have them understand what is good and bad and why do we do things differently in public than what we do at home and all these things, right? If you don't have the understanding, it's just following rules, and that only gets you so far in life. But it's the same thing spiritually. It's not just about, this is what I was told I'm supposed to do and not supposed to do. No, we got to hear it and understand it and let the Holy Spirit work in us to produce things that change our lives that come from the Word of God. But how do we do that? Why do we do that? It's by the Spirit, right? The fruit of the Spirit. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Those things begin to show up in our life more and more and more, not by us just being good, but by us being immersed in the Word of God. That's how that stuff is produced. Have you ever been like, man, I don't know why, I'm not very patient. I don't know why, but I want to love people like Jesus says to, but I just don't. Right? That's okay. That's me sometimes. I'm like, I like people, but sometimes I have a hard time loving people. I don't have unconditional love for people. I'm sorry. I wish that I did. But that's not something that's natural in a person. It comes from God. And so we got to be in the Word of God. I can tell you guys, when I have not been in the Word of God, I'm not as nice of a person, right? I'm not as gentle. I'm not as kind. I'm not as good around people. Because that's not what we produce. It's what the Holy Spirit produces through us. And if this is the result you're looking for, this is the thing that makes us look more like Jesus, which is what we're supposed to be doing as the children of God. Amen? We're supposed to look like Him. Jesus said the person that hears and understands will bear fruit and they will produce. It's not just that you bear fruit, you'll produce. That means to bring it to maturity. I think about a cherry tree, and I know I've probably shared something about this before, but my grandpa Caraway had this cherry tree, and I loved it because I love cherries. And this cherry tree, when I was a kid, I got paid 1 penny for every cherry that I pitted and put in the bucket. And so, I mean, as a kid, when you're doing, I mean, really, that's slave labor. I wish I would have realized that now. I mean, a penny per cherry, I mean, we're talking hundreds, and I'd get a couple bucks, you know, but things were cheaper then, too. But I remember that I was getting paid a penny, but I was also eating 2 cherries for every one that I put in there. So at the end of the day, it's probably a pretty good wage, even for child labor. But this tree would begin to bear fruit, and I would remember as I would go to my grandpa's house and I would look at that tree and be like, "Grandpa, is there any cherries yet?" And he's like, "Oh, not yet. You know, it's going to be months." And I just look at it every time I would go over there, and I remember sometimes they would start to pop up, right? They would start to bear fruit. You could tell that's going to be a cherry. And then they would start to form into cherries, but the thing is they didn't quite look that good. Some were kind of green, some were kind of orange, some were kind of yellow. They were all kinds of different colors as they were coming to maturity. And, you know, me as a kid, I was kind of like, well, I'm going to try them anyway. Because I told you, I'm not patient. I'd be like, I'm going to try that green one. That's gross. I'm going to try that yellow one. That's also gross. The orange one, also gross. Not only were they gross and they didn't taste good, but they're also kind of hard because they're not ripe. They're not good. And I remember going through that, and something I had to learn was they're not that good until they're mature. Once they're mature, once they're ripe, they're nice and red, they're soft, and they taste great. Church, that's kind of what our spiritual life looks like. When a person begins to bear fruit, at the beginning, it doesn't quite look that great. It's like you're just happy if there's just a little bit. There's just a little something there. It may not be the right color. It may not be ready to go, but there's something there. Something's being produced. But we begin to display the fruit of the Spirit in our life in a process over time that eventually begins to look beautiful, like a blossoming cherry tree, and it takes time for that fruit to produce to a place of maturity, to where people recognize it as Christ. But when it does, when we are producing, church, the output of our life is one that is Spirit-led, that puts the things of God above the things of our own wants and desires and nature. It produces godly character in our lives. See, the thing about fruit, when we're looking at it spiritually, is fruit is the visible evidence of our spiritual state. It's the visible evidence of our spiritual state, of our attitude, our words, our conduct. Fruit ultimately reveals the heart. It reveals the things that we love. It reveals the things that we're feeding on. It reveals the things that we are connected to. In John chapter 15, Jesus told us, "Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me." He said, "I am the vine and you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit, for without me you can do nothing." Jesus tells us, he says, he's the source of good fruit. He's the source of good fruit, and the extent of your relationship with him will show in what you produce. How your relationship is with the Lord is going to show by the things that you're producing in your life. He said for some people it's going to be 100-fold, some people it's going to be 60, some people it's going to be 30. Now when you hear that, this is not for measuring ourselves against one another. You know, I can look at Todd and be like, all right, if Todd looks like he's producing about 80-fold, but man, I'm only doing like 60, like I got to try. It's not about measuring against other people. He doesn't tell us that. It's not about a competition, right? The main thing is, are we producing? Are you producing anything for the Lord? Because if it's one cherry, listen, it's more than a person who's producing no cherries. Now, that one cherry is not less important than Paul's 100 cherries that he's got going on, right? It's not about measuring me against something else. It's just, am I bearing fruit? Is there something in my life that's coming up, that's being produced, that looks like Christ? Because what that is, it's a measuring stick for my relationship with Jesus. Am I producing the things of God in my life? That's it. And if you want more, guess what? Get in your word more. Spend time with the Lord more. That's how you produce more. It's not about a competition with people. It's about producing good fruit, that any amount is a good amount. But at the end of the day, it all comes back to our connection with the vine. Jesus gave his life for you. Every single person within the sound of my voice, Jesus gave his life for you. He literally died for you in your place to pay the penalty for your sin. Wouldn't that make us want to give our lives for him? Shouldn't that cause us to desire that, you know what? He died on a cross for me whenever I was against him. Whenever my sins condemned me. When I was on a path to hell, he died on a cross for me. Shouldn't that cause us to be motivated to live our lives for him? I mean, think of the price that he paid for you and me. We've got to receive him, believe in him, give our lives to him, but it says we've got to abide in him. Church, it's not just a decision that you make one time at an altar call. It says you've got to abide in me, because if you don't, you can't produce anything good. Nothing good. Absolutely zero. We got to remain in him. We got to be connected to Jesus, which brings us back full circle to the seed that we're to be sowers of. The seed is the word of God. In John chapter 1, he tells us that Jesus is the word, right? Jesus is the word. He is the fullness of God manifested to us in human form. The word of God is the picture form of the life of Jesus to us. He came and showed us the way, right? He set that example. But when he ascended to heaven, he didn't leave us alone. Maybe you guys are thankful for that today. That he said, it's for your benefit that I go away. Guys, it's for our benefit that Jesus went to heaven. He said, because then I can send the helper to teach you, to guide you, to be there with you. Church, when Jesus came as a man, he could be in one place at one time. That was it. He could only be in one place. He ascended to heaven and he sent the Spirit of God that can minister to each and every one of us at the same time, wherever we're at, all across the world. I know to you that might be the first time you realize that. It could be mind-blowing to understand. I don't understand it either. I just know it's true because the Word of God says it. Church, we need more ground that's good, receiving the seed of God. And so the question today is, how's your heart? How is your heart? Are you someone who has received the Word of God? Have you made that declaration of faith in Christ? Are you born again? You're only born again when you've placed your faith in Jesus Christ, when you accept him as Savior and Lord. Are you a person this morning that has ears to hear? Do you have a teachable heart? Do you come in a position where you say, Lord, I don't want to just hear the word, but I want to understand it. I want you to teach me. I want to be changed by the word of God. Do we have that understanding? Are we spirit-minded? Do we think of the things of God before the things of man? Do we need an interpreter today? Because he's available in this place. The Holy Spirit is here. He is active. He is working. He can reveal truth to you right here today. And then are you bearing fruit? Can you look at your life and say, man, I'm bearing fruit for God? And it may not be much, or maybe it's an abundance. But can you look at your life and say, I'm a fruit bearer. I'm someone that's producing for God. And listen, this isn't about your pride, because listen, if you are, then it's only because you're connected to the vine. It's only because of your connection with Christ. But can you say, I'm bearing fruit. The Holy Spirit's showing up in the things that I do and that I say, that man, I'm producing love, I'm producing peace and joy through my life by the power of the Spirit. Are we a producer? Are we starting to look like Jesus? Because church, when we think about the people around us who are going to hell because they don't know the Savior, there's one way that a person's led to repentance: the goodness of God. The word says it's the goodness of God that draws men to repentance. How are they going to experience the goodness of God in a broken, fallen, dying world that's full of chaos and destruction if they're not seeing it in the people of God? That's our call today. That God has put you here today to be equipped to go out there and reveal the goodness of God to people. To be sowers of seed, to be those who will bear the fruit of the Holy Spirit in their life to where other people will see that and desire it for themselves. Will you stand with me? Father, we thank you for this parable on the sower. God, we thank you for this good ground and for the call, this challenge to us as believers. Lord, I pray for the people within the sound of my voice, whether they're here in person or watching online. Holy Spirit, will you speak to our hearts today? Lord, I pray for those who do not have ears to hear. Today, will you speak to them? Will you reveal the goodness of God to them? Will you reveal your heart to them, your passion, your desire for them? Will you give them an ability to let that wall down, to let their guard down, to say, God, I trust you. I don't know if there's anybody in this place today that maybe you had a bad upbringing regarding the Holy Spirit. Maybe you'd heard things and anytime the Holy Spirit's brought up, it makes you kind of cringe or makes you uncertain. Father, for those people in that place, I pray today that you would reveal the truth to them. God, that they would understand that the Holy Spirit is here, that he's moving in our midst, that he speaks to our heart, that his whole purpose is to lead us closer to Jesus. His whole purpose is to bring glory to the Son. His whole purpose is to teach us and guide us and help us and comfort us and work within us in ways that lead us closer to Jesus. I pray for anybody that has that negative outlook or thoughts or pictures of the Holy Spirit, that today would be the day that those things would be destroyed in the name of Jesus. That you would silence the voice of the enemy and dispel those lies that they've been told. But I pray that they be open to the fruit of the Spirit working in their lives. For those that have believed the lie about the baptism of the Holy Spirit and the gifts of the Spirit, and they think that stuff's not for today, Lord, I pray that you give them the ears to hear and an understanding as they read the Word to see the truth in it, that it is for today, that we're still in the church age. We're still in the church age, and Lord, those gifts of the Spirit speaking in tongues and prophecy and healing, interpretation, all these things that they are for today, that they're for the building up of the body, they're for the use of the kingdom of God. And Lord, I pray that today would be a day for those who have been resistant to that, that their walls would come down and they would receive that in this place with openness. God, would today be a day that you would help us if we're being barren, that today would be a day that we'd begin to produce fruit, bear fruit and produce it for the kingdom of God. Pray for each person in this place, Lord, as we enter an altar, that you would speak to them and show them right where they're at and what their need is. As we're open to you, Lord, we just trust that you're a God who does good things, that you have great things in store for your church, that each and every person is here for a purpose, and that purpose is to praise you, to worship you, but it's also to serve you without hindrance to a world that's in desperate need of the gospel. And so I pray for the people today that they'd receive whatever it is they need to be able to do that. We give you glory, praise, and honor. In Jesus' name, amen.